Father, Lord, we're grateful for you. We're grateful that you are the commonality in our lives. Lord, thank you for this time that in the middle of the week, with everything going on, we can just come and share in your word. Lord, that we'd be encouraged by it. Lord, that we'd be encouraged by fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Lord, friends, people that are on our sides, people that love us, people that love you. Lord, I pray that you would be blessed by our time, but Lord, that you'd bless us for gathering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 136. Thanksgiving to God for his enduring mercy. So, you know, where this is a smaller group, we can kind of be an interactive class. If you guys have done responsive readings in the past, right? This is actually a responsive song where the priests or at least a Levite would lead. Think of this as like the first cadence song. Okay, I'm not going to sing. But if I read the first line, you guys could read the second line. All right, are you with me? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Okay, let me explain this again. Think this is Israel, okay? Israel who God delivered from the Red Sea. God brought out of the wilderness. So you've got thousands gathered, probably on the steps of the temple. This is a psalm of praise. So as Israel's doing it, it's probably not for his mercy endures forever. Granted, he didn't do it in Maine, but, you know, guys, he saved us, you know, and he's gathered us, warts and all, together as a family. So, anyways, there's going to be a quiz at the end of this song. So let's just finish it out. There's only 26 verses, okay? Verse 4, to him who alone does great wonders. All right, you're still holding back, but that was a lot closer. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. That's...
I chose to go with the motive of the heart rather than the voice.
Okay, that's not what it says. To him who made great lights. Verse 7. The sun to rule by day. The moon and the stars to rule by night. To him who struck Egypt and their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two. You guys are backsliding. Verse 14, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings. Okay, remember, we're recording this, so everyone online is going to think I left half of this out if they can't hear you finish strong. 19, Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant. Who remembered us in our lowly state. And rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Okay. Awesome, sort of. Wait, can anyone tell me what they think as we've read through this, what the theme to this psalm might be? You know, isn't it funny leading up to this? We've talked actually the last couple of weeks, Sundays and Wednesdays, pointing out how God uses repetition, you know, to emphasize points, to remind us of points. I think there's no greater example than Psalm 136. It's amazing. And we'll actually see as we go through the next couple of Psalms the application of that. You know, why is God good? Why does he do this? Why is he so faithful? Because his mercy endures forever. It's his character. He is love. So, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods, the God above any of these so-called gods or idols that people at the time were worshiping. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, to him who alone does great wonders, for who by wisdom made the heavens, to him who laid out the earth above the waters. That's a great thing, right? To him who made great lights, the sun to rule by day. You ever think about that? Do you know in the amount of time that it took you to say, his mercy endures forever? Do you know how much of the sun burned up? I'm glad Andre's not here. you know, I used to, when we started, I'd try to incorporate more science, particularly when we went through Genesis and stuff. Now, as soon as you say something scientific, you guys are there, you look like you're like, you know, looking at your Bibles on your phones, but you're looking it up. You're checking out the facts. What I've heard in that amount of time, in that short blip, 12 million tons of material in the sun burn up. Think about the mass and the size and the nuclear reactions, all that for that much of the sun to burn in that short of a time period. And that's not eternal. You know, there's a time for it'll last us, you know, because we know the rest of the story. We know what's happening. But God made the sun to rule by day in perfect boundaries so we don't burn up and so we don't freeze. Come awful close. God measures in inches in Maine, I think. The moon and the stars to rule by night. Verse 10, how about this? To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, followed by, for his mercy endures forever. Anybody have a hard time putting those two things together? Doesn't it challenge you when you read and study the Word of God? I had a conversation this week with somebody and talking about a particular point, and it was like, well, I've got a problem with that. And I understand that. You know, sometimes I read things and it's like, well, that doesn't feel good. Or that doesn't set right. But this is truth, right? This is God's word. So when we read that, I mean, understand it's helpful to not just open up Psalm 136 and read verse 10 and expect to understand that, knowing the history, knowing actually there was 9 other plagues before that that God introduced to Egypt and said, let my people go. And they didn't, and they didn't respond, and they didn't respond, and they didn't respond. And as a eternal advocate for his people, he struck Egypt in their firstborn. And it was effective, because God, his mercy endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea in two. Look at verse 14. And made Israel pass through the midst of it. I don't know how much you've thought about the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. Consider at the time of the occurrence, they didn't have the chapter. You know, they didn't know how it was going to end. the enemy's coming, the sea's before them, and waters begin to gather. They didn't see the movie, right? Nobody even knew who Charlton Heston was back then. In the waters begin to divide, and what do you do? Do you go through? Moses is saying go. Do you imagine the men, you know, following, and their wives? Are you sure we should trust this guy? And the kids, I bet, terrified. You've never seen anything like that before. You know, I mean, just when I think of that, His mercy endures forever. You know, but even that, the enemy's coming, and in my prayer, God, deliver us, save us, and do it like this. You know, make them turn around or make them burst into flames. But just make it stop. You know, that's my prayer. God, make it stop a lot of times. Make this trial end. And a lot of times I get this answer, like you see in verse 14. It doesn't stop. He made Israel pass through the midst of it. You know, sometimes we just have to keep going through it. And He's going to protect us. He's going to deliver us. He's going to save us from the evil that's trying to kill us. His mercy will endure forever. But sometimes that mercy delivers us through the trial. It gives us the strength that we need to keep going in that trial. He made Israel pass through the midst of it. And same thing in verse 16. Verse 15 says, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, to him who led his people through the wilderness. For his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan. I mentioned those, I think, in the last psalm, and said the stories of those guys were in Numbers chapter 21 and Deuteronomy chapter 3. How many of you guys looked that up and read about those guys? Don't raise your hand. I wish you had. Just, I mean, God mentions them twice. You know, famous kings, but When you look that up and you read in those areas, there's actually a book published in the 1800s that talks about the cities of Bashan. But Og is described as a remnant of the giants. So when we just read famous kings or slew famous kings, struck down great kings, when you read back in the history and read back who these guys were in the scriptures, Numbers 21, Deuteronomy chapter 3, it describes Og as a remnant of the giants, and it talks about his bed of all things. It describes his bed as being made out of iron and being 9 cubits long, 13 and a half feet long, and 4 cubits wide. 13 and a half feet long and 4 foot wide, an iron bed. Think about a big strapping boy that you know. You know, I'm not standing up to model. But 6 foot, 6'2", 6'3", big, powerful. And this guy's bed was 13 and a half feet long. Twice as big as what we would imagine. For God's mercy endures forever. He gave their land as a heritage to Israel, His servant, verse 23, who remembered us in our lowly state. There's a transition here from just His mercy and deliverer through all these things. God was Israel's deliverer to then provider and rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. I mean, I'm grateful for that. I'm very grateful for that. Not just for myself, but last night driving home, there was 3 deer on the side of the road. And you think about all these animals that God provides food for all living creatures. It's amazing. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. So if you didn't know We're 139 Psalms deep in this book. And if you can't remember the theme of some of those as we've gone, hopefully this one you will. You know, but it's through repetition and it's being reminded. And for Israel, guys, that the confidence and the faithfulness of God going forward and the trust that his mercy is going to endure forever has been his past faithfulness. You know, as we look through all people groups, Israel is the only people group that their history is fully known. Let me explain that. Their history is known, right? We have the history of Israel all the way back. Their present is written and is occurring, and we know the future of Israel in the scriptures. Can we see that as Americans? We want to, right? We know our history. Our present is present. It's being written as we sit here tonight. But whenever we get into prophecy, whenever we start talking about end times, people want to know, is America in there? You know, can we apply America to this? Can we say it's a little horn? Can we? But we don't know. As an American Christian, our history is written, right? We know our future as Christians because his mercy endures forever. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked us for a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. I want to stop there. Babylon. Are you guys familiar with the term Babylon, the city of Babylon? It's Jerusalem and Babylon are the most mentioned cities in the Bible. Isaiah 13, 14, Revelation, there's several places in the scriptures that specifically talk about and describe Babylon. Jerusalem being the city of God and Babylon really representing sin and evil and all the luxuries of the world. Unbelievable gardens in the city, wealth, cultural, really hub of the world, arts and just everything. And you remember that God allowed the Assyrians to come and take Israel captive and take them away to Babylon. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. They wept near the willows. I wonder if that's where the expression weeping willows came from. Bible. I know we haven't done this psalm and we haven't talked about this. So when I say, have you ever thought about it? You know, maybe when you read through here devotionally, those of you that do the Bible in a year or 2 years. It's just so easy to read, to get our reading done. You know, and okay, Lord, why is Psalm 137 in here? You know, and was it just to bum us out? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. When we think back to Israel, when we think back to Zion, the city of God, we wept. And I mentioned Babylon being a great city. Israel at this time, Jerusalem, had expanded to a point where I think it was 60,000 square miles of area that they had had. Huge, beautiful city. So much gold in Jerusalem at the time that it said that silver was counted as stones. You know, there's so much gold and so much value, riches in Jerusalem that other things were minuscule. And they think back to Zion. But what did we just talk about in the last psalm? God's mercy enduring forever. So I don't think when they're in Babylon that it was just weeping that we're in Babylon. Because if you remember, Before, long before God used the Assyrians, long before Judah was taken captive, God gave them warnings. God begged them to repent and to turn away from the idols that they were worshiping, turn away from the sin that they had compromised in. In Ezekiel, it talks about when we desire things and we go after false gods or we long for things that others have, that there's a season where when we place those things above God, he'll turn us over to those things. You know, like you want quail, you know, I'll give it to you till it's coming out your nose kind of thing. That's what Babylon was. Babylon was if, you know, if we could just make a little more money, things would be more comfortable. And if I could just have this thing that I really want, and why are we following God when we're struggling? Babylon represented all of those things, the luxuries and wealth and the world. And Israel longed for that stuff. And they compromised. And I think the weeping here, they were given what they wanted. They were in Babylon. But I think part of the weeping was in getting what they wanted and realizing that what they lost, you know, this didn't have to happen. They didn't have to be in Babylon. If they had turned back to the Lord anywhere along the path, they didn't have to be exiled. They didn't have to leave the city of God. Isn't that like us when we backslide? You know, it's like, I'm trying, I can't do this. I'm trying, God, but, or you just, you want, you know, you see the world around you and it doesn't look that evil, or it looks fun, or it looks, why can't I have some of those things? They seem to be being blessed and I'm not. I'm doing the right thing, but we don't make enough. Or all my buddies are out having fun, why can't I? And we go towards Babylon. And then finally we're in Babylon. And we think back to, you know, how it was when we were right with the Lord. And you think, you know, all the way along the, God didn't just leave me. God didn't just let me go towards Babylon without warning me along the way and speaking to me and saying, this is dangerous, and this is going to lead to destruction, and this is going to lead to pain and a tearing apart. Remember Zion. You know, don't stray from that. And I think that's kind of what was going on here. They sat down and they wept when they remembered Zion. The mercy of God, that all the way along there were warnings. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there were those who carried us away captive, asked us a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, or it means joy. Now, don't you hate that when you're in a season of backsliding? And the world says to you, aren't you one of those, don't you go to that Old Town Christian Fellowship? Aren't you one of those people that sing those praise songs and you're a Jesus freak and you're happy and joyful and life full of peace? Share some of that peace with us now. That's the weeping, guys, as they remember back and not just remember how it was compared to where they are, but that it didn't have to be. You know, that by God's mercy, they could have gone back. And here's the deal. Us in our backsliding, we can at any time. We talked about that Sunday. Repent. But the world here, Babylon, saying, give us one of those songs. Sing one of those songs of praise to us. Give us some of that joy, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. and Israel's broken heart. Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? It's like trying to witness when you're hammered out of your mind, right? How do you do that? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, verse 5, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. What's your chief joy? I mean, this is the Wednesday night crowd. I applaud you guys. And I know how much harder it is to come out now that it's dark. You know, but what's the chief joy of the... Don't you see that? Two hands when you open water. If you learn nothing else tonight, okay? What is the chief joy in our life? Because it's so easily replaced, right? I think everyone here has had that time when you've come to the Lord and you've been made clean and there's no guilt and there's no shame because he's taken that away. And you get in good fellowship, and maybe God's given you brothers and sisters where when you gather, it's encouraging. And you sit right next to each other, you know? Because you're in that kind of loving relationship, and you know God's given you these brothers and sisters. And it's just awesome. And then we stray away from that. And we let other things become our chief joys, you know, above that. And we look back, and no matter what that joy is, I guarantee you're not as happy as when you're in that right place. And then the enemy uses it to get us discouraged and to feel defeated. And all we got to do is come back, because his mercy, help me, endures forever. We just have to come back. We just have to repent. And be restored. Let him do that work. Remember, verse 7, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed? Happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. That little imprecatory prayer at the end. But imagine that as a deterrent. We live in a world of evil. You guys have seen it in the last week. You know, this latest church shooting and mowing people down the week before. Imagine if this prayer, those that have evil intent, if their intent were done to them prior to them doing that act. That would stop a lot of stuff. That's the heart of the psalmist here as he prays that. Psalm 138, a little upturn here, okay, so we don't leave you on a bummer. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. That's really my prayer for you guys, for me too. That I'll get to a place where, regardless of circumstance in this world, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. That I will praise and worship God, holding nothing back. What are the things that hold us back from doing that? Sin, yeah? Guilt? You know, one of the biggest problems that I see, one of the biggest issues with Christians, sin and guilt. Jody, you said that. Finally, surrendering and coming to a place of repentance, but then allowing the enemy to rob them from that because of guilt and not being able to forgive themselves and not being able to understand that God's mercy endures forever. And remember, was it Psalm 124, I think? No. It wasn't Psalm 124. Yes, it was. Psalm 121. Verse 3 and 4. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. That, and I think when we went through that, I said, you know, unlike your pastor, when you call in the middle of the night and I'm dozing off and you're the last thing on my mind. That's God, whose mercy endures forever. You know, you're forgiven. And you're always, think about this, you're always in the mind of God. You're never outside of his thoughts. He never sleeps on you. And I think we don't get it. I think we don't get his mercy endures forever. I think we don't get that he never slumbers or sleeps. That he's on your mind because he's crazy about you. And he sent his son to die for you, knowing the worst day of your life, and said, you're worth it. And he can't get you out of his mind. And he wants us to be in this relationship, to be in Zion, to be in that place where we praise him with our whole heart, unashamed. No hindrance there. No barriers of guilt. I'll praise you with my whole heart, God. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. You have magnified your word above all your name. That's heavy. Think about that. God, you've raised up your word above your very name. These promises that are written in here, Lord, you've elevated them above your name. Verse 3, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. This is a psalm of David. Isn't that awesome when you cry out to the Lord and he answers you the same day? It doesn't always happen, right? It doesn't always seem like it happens. Sometimes you cry out to him and you cry out to him the next day. In the next week, and for the next 4 months. But like the Red Sea, look at how he answered David's prayer. In the day when I cried out, you answered me. And again, when I cry out to the Lord, when I finally come around to saying, okay, God, I need you, I can't do this anymore, which should be my first go-to, right? And then he says, okay, I know you can't do this, but we can do this. But look, he doesn't say, all right, David, I took care of it. The people that were trying to kill you, they're gone. Or this trial that you're going through never happened. In the day when I cried out to you, you answered me. How did he answer? Made me bold with strength in my soul. Don't you wish you said, you delivered me, you took away all my problems, and I promised to do that for you too, Rosaire? The day that you ask every single time. It doesn't say in verse 3 that any of circumstances changed for David. Whatever's going on here at the writing of this, and the day I cried out to you, doesn't say anything changed. The trial didn't end. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But there's no description here of circumstances saying, but he says, you answered me, God, and made me bold with strength in my soul. I was ready to tap out, Lord, and with you, you gave me the strength. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Nick, you can get the stuff ready for communion if you would. What's that another way of saying that we've seen repeated in the scriptures a few times? Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, right? But think about that. He regards the lowly. Again, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He knows what's going on in your life right now. Even when it doesn't seem like it, or you cry out and it doesn't seem like he's answered, God knows exactly what you're dealing with. You're never out of his mind because his mercy endures forever. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, verse 7, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand. Remember, the right hand is a symbol of strength. So all your strength, God, will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Good placement of Psalm 138, right? Right after 137. O Lord, your mercy endures forever. Let me read this as Nick's passing that out. Out of 1 Corinthians 11, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It tells us to do this in remembrance of him. And then actually it goes on and it talks about doing this in an unworthy manner. And I want to add one verse here because of the conversation that I said about backsliding and looking back to that time and realizing not just grieving in our sin because we slid or we fell into sin. I don't even want to call it sliding, because we sinned. But just a reminder, his mercy endures forever, and all we have to do is come back. And I want to read a verse that I was in personally this week. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And can I confess something to you guys? I got everybody's attention now. No scandalous sin, okay? Just understanding of this verse. I think I've looked at this my whole life as a restatement of the same thing. Listen again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Two things saying the same thing. But this week I looked at this differently, in that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. One. Okay, that we're cleansed, that sin has been paid for and washed by the blood of Jesus. And I don't care what you've done or what you think you can't forgive yourself for, there's nothing stronger than the blood of Jesus. So he's forgiven us, cleanses us from our sins. And then look at the second part of that. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The things that we continue to struggle with, our hearts, our attitudes, our temptations, that not just can he forgive us of those things that we've done, but continue to sanctify us and to cleanse us from unrighteous thoughts in our hearts and temptations and things that we struggle with, that we can be free from that as well. Because he paid for it. Because he paid the price for us. And he instructs us through this to do this together, to unify us as a body. That's why we don't do it in the car on the way home. You know, but that we would partake together. Usually of one cracker. But to remember that the price has been paid for forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness. So let's pray together. And guys, like I said Sunday, if there's anything that the Lord brings to mind that you need to clear up, please do it. Please do it. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, even these things that we read from the Old Testament, from the history of Israel, Lord, as they looked back on things that didn't have to be with weeping, Lord, that we'd learn the lesson from them. That you would forgive us of our sins, Lord, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, you gave your body and you shed your blood and you rose from the grave to make repentance possible, to make restoration and reconciliation with you possible. Lord, and out of our gratitude of that, Lord, help us to better love one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat together, church. Building
you for this night again, and thank you that you have no rival and that we are relying on your strength and not ours. And God, I just pray that you'd bless this week and help everyone to have a good night. In your name, amen.